valuable information in our lives. Right action is governed by our thoughts and feelings without being reactive to them. Drained brains become balanced ones. The result? Instead of sending accusatory texts when she hadn't heard back from her boyfriend right away, Melanie waited without reacting impulsively. A few minutes went by, and he sent a text apologizing for not getting back to her right away. He'd been stuck in a meeting at work. These changes created a dynamic that made her boyfriend feel more excited about being with her, and in the long run, it also meant he wanted to spend even more time with her. For him, it was a relief to be given credit for the trust he had earned. This also made him feel good enough as her partner. The first few times she used this strategy, it felt difficult, but it got easier every time she made the decision to go down this unfamiliar path. When we don't address pitfall thought patterns, they can create self-fulfilling prophecies that turn irrational fears into realities. For Melanie, constantly accusing her boyfriend of things he didn't do was creating a relationship filled with conflict. When couples fight more often than they get along, relationships are likely to end. Now, Melanie had changed her pitfall thought patterns, which resulted in a change in her actions. Her relationship improved, and the feedback she got from improving her relationship eventually resulted in fewer pitfall thought patterns in the first place. This turned a downward spiral of insecurity into a snowball effect of confidence and love. You can change your life too. Use EBCT as an antidote whenever you notice a pitfall thought pattern. This is a fluid process. It becomes more potent every time you use it. Chapter 12. Sleep better with cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. Jessica is a professional woman in her early 40s. She's also one of the 50 to 70 million Americans who struggle with chronic sleep disorders. And according to the CDC, 83.6 million Americans are sleeping less than 7 hours per night, increasing the risk of many diseases. Like many people who struggle with insomnia, Jessica had tried everything from melatonin to herbal remedies to prescription sleeping aids. When she realized none of these was actually helping her overcome insomnia, she began to worry that this would become a permanent problem, which, of course, only drained her brain while making the insomnia worse. Our constantly connected, smartphone-tethered ways may have some bearing on Americans getting an average of 6.5 hours of sleep on weeknights, which is less sleep than all but one of the other countries surveyed in a major poll. American women fared especially poorly, with 67% reporting having trouble sleeping multiple times a week. The stress-sleep cycle. Stress restores frazzled, run-down, and drained brains. Of course, the times when you are desperate for a good night's sleep may be the times it's most elusive. Another problem? Many of the ways people commonly deal with insomnia may make problems worse in the long run. When we're stressed and have difficulty sleeping, we're tempted to reach for alcohol, processed carbohydrates, benzodiazepines, and sleeping pills. Processed carbs and alcohol may knock us out initially, but they disrupt sleep, and deep, restful sleep especially. Benzodiazepines and sleeping pills cause dependence and rebound insomnia, so a short-term fix becomes a long-term problem. Many people think of the hormone melatonin when they think of sleep, but the stress hormone cortisol also plays a vital role in natural sleep rhythms. To help you sleep, melatonin levels rise as cortisol dips. In the morning, cortisol rises as melatonin dips. Of course, this is how nature designed balanced brains to work. However, this process goes haywire in drained brains. We are born without a 24-hour circadian rhythm. As we are exposed to the natural light of the world, we soon develop one. In healthy infants, cortisol begins to follow a healthy rhythm, low at night, high in the morning. Ideally, sleep and activity patterns line up with the sun rising and setting to the delight of parents who get to sleep through the night. Even as children, sleep patterns affect cortisol levels, and those cortisol levels influence behavior. Young children with fragmented sleep patterns have cortisol levels that spike higher than those who sleep through the night. These children are more likely to become upset in response to minor stressors and display behavioral difficulties. Alignment with these natural rhythms isn't just vital for sleep. It's vital for our overall health. Blood samples revealed that just 1 week of insufficient sleep affected over 700 genes. Perennially high levels of cortisol wreak havoc in the body and play a role in mind-body conditions like irritable bowel syndrome. Insufficient melatonin levels at night are problematic as well and have been linked to cancer. Female night shift workers who have perennially low levels of melatonin thanks to exposure to artificial light environments at night have a 70% increased risk of breast cancer. A review of several studies, including over 1 million people, found that people who sleep too little, for example 6 hours, or too much, for example 10 hours, face a greater risk of death. Thus, aiming for that sweet spot of about 8 hours of sleep per night is ideal. Sadly, our modern, stressful lives get in the way of these natural sleep rhythms. In fact, high levels of stress can actually annihilate circadian rhythms. Not surprisingly, soldiers in a stressful 5-day boot camp experienced cortisol and adrenaline spikes that negatively affected performance. The surprising part was that this acute stress response extinguished their circadian rhythms, and these rhythms weren't fully restored even after 5 days of rest. Drained individuals often experience events that feel as stressful as a soldier's boot camp, and their brains pay the price. Even a full weekend of rest won't be enough to fully restore the natural sleep-wake cycle after excessive amounts of stress. So stress can lead to insomnia, and insomnia can also lead to stress and anxiety. Chronic insomnia is a risk factor for developing an anxiety disorder. Being sleep-deprived during the day makes minor stressors feel grueling, and this keeps cortisol levels high all day long. Levels of leptin, the hormone that helps you feel full after eating, go down when circadian rhythms are disturbed. When stress is constant or untreated trauma is present, cortisol levels can eventually bottom out and cause fatigue, as happens in the worst forms of drained brains. While you don't want cortisol levels too high, you also don't want them perennially low, since a small rise of the stress hormone in the morning helps you to wake up and give you energy. When sleep remains elusive for a long period of time, the brain shrinks. This, of course, can make you less resilient and unable to deal with stress. In one study, adults aged 20 to 84 had their brain scanned. They had a second scan 3.5 years later and were asked about their sleeping habits. A rapid decline in volume was seen in the poor sleepers' brains. This shows that a problematic stress-sleep cycle could eventually lead to Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia. Lack of sleep also prevents your brain from reaping the full benefits of your brain's wash cycle. During sleep, channels between neurons expand up to 60%, which allows cerebrospinal fluid in. All that extra space between neurons allows the fluid to flush out plaques that fog the brain and spike dementia risk. In older adults, cortisol interacts with those plaques in the brain. Those with high levels of cortisol decline more rapidly than those with lower levels of the stress hormone. Sleep might also reinforce brain cells. A 2013 study showed that while mice slept, their brains were making more myelin, the brain cell's insulation that allows the electrical current of happiness to flow freely. A University of Pennsylvania experiment found that people who slept about 6 hours a night for multiple nights in a row had the same performance deficits as people who had been totally deprived of sleep for 2 nights. Even more alarming, when subjects were asked to report their subjective experience of sleepiness throughout the study, they were largely unaware of their deficits. Not sleeping enough can also affect your body's ability to regulate stress hormones and lead to high blood pressure. This is problematic for stressed-out, brain-drained people. Remember, people with anxiety are 4 times more likely to develop high blood pressure, the number one cause of preventable death in the world. So not getting enough sleep isn't just difficult to deal with, it can be life-threatening. Hopefully this research motivates you to reprioritize sleep. For many people, this means making significant changes in their lives. However, this information can also make some people excessively worried about sleep, which can lead to insomnia and more anxiety. In fact, research shows insomniacs tend to have more unrealistic expectations about their sleep requirements, and they have stronger beliefs about the negative consequences of insufficient sleep. The Stanford Sleep Medicine Center found insomniacs overestimate the time it takes them to fall asleep by 30 minutes while underestimating their total time sleeping by an hour. While the effects of sleep deprivation are scary, take them with a grain of salt. Doing so will allow you to apply one of the most helpful insomnia strategies, and it's a surprising counterintuitive treatment. Getting less sleep on purpose in the short term to promote more restful and efficient sleep in the long run. CBTI, the natural treatment. Cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia, or CBTI, is the natural way to treat insomnia so we can balance our brains and remain resilient in the face of stress. It also helps restore the 24-hour cycle of melatonin and cortisol so you can feel refreshed when you wake up and tired at night. In 2016, the American College of Physicians recommended CBTI as the initial treatment instead of medication for adults with insomnia. This group is the largest medical specialty organization in the U.S., so this about-face was an important decree for health professionals and patients alike. They're encouraging CBTI while trying to reverse the overprescribing and overconsumption of sleeping pills that have become increasingly problematic. One of the great things about CBTI is that it works equally well for different types of insomnia. It works for people who have trouble falling asleep and staying asleep, and those who wake up too early. It's even effective in reversing dependence on sleeping pills. One study recruited 100 people with insomnia. Of these, 18 reported problems falling asleep, 18 reported trouble staying asleep, and 64 reported both. Their insomnia was fairly severe. The vast majority had used sleeping pills, and some were dependent on them. They'd been experiencing insomnia for an average of 10.7 years. They'd attended an average of about 8 CBTI sessions, and the results were impressive. In just a few months, they reduced the time it took to fall asleep from an average of about an hour down to 30 minutes. There were similar improvements in staying asleep and waking up too early. More time was spent sleeping, and less time was spent lying awake in bed. CBTI even helped insomniacs dependent on sleeping pills either reduce or eliminate their use. Over the course of treatment, there was an overall 59% reduction of medication intake. Better yet, almost half of the drug-dependent insomniacs were drug-free at the end of treatment. A review of 59 other studies of CBTI produced similar results. More than 2,000 subjects received an average of about 4 or 5 sessions. Some subjects even self-administered the therapy without any face-to-face sessions with a professional. The average time it took to fall asleep improved by 41%, while the time spent waking up too much or too early improved by 45%. Unlike sleep medications, which stop working after you stop taking them and make insomnia worse in the long run, a short course of CBTI results in lasting improvement. Follow-up data showed the improvements of insomnia symptoms were stable for months after treatment. Remarkably, CBTI can even help people fall asleep faster than prescription sleeping pills. All of this is great news because we've come to realize over the past few years that women don't metabolize these medications as quickly as men. Some medications remain in women's bodies after 8 hours of sleep, and this can lead to grogginess and delayed reaction time. In 2013, the FDA recommended lower doses of Ambien for women after studies showed that 15% of women still had enough Ambien in their blood to impair their driving 8 hours after taking the non-extended-release 10-milligram dose. For the newer extended-release Ambien, that number jumps to 33% of women. Ambien is also problematic for seniors since cognitive impairment and falls can result. Research shows for people over 60, the benefit of the medication probably does not outweigh the risk. According to the U.S. Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, Ambien comes with other dangers too. ER visits for adverse reactions to Ambien climbed 220% from 2005 to 2010. Most patients were women, and the most common age group was 45 to 65. Researchers also identified an association between Ambien and both cancer and death in 2012, although they couldn't conclude that the relationship was a cause and effect one. Belsomra, the prescription sleeping pill that received FDA approval in 2014, doesn't seem like it is going to be the solution to the world's sleep woes. It's the first orexin receptor antagonist to be approved for insomnia and works differently from Ambien or similar drugs like Lunesta and Sonata. Belsomra side effects may include next-day alertness, sleepwalking, and suicidal ideation. The good news? You already have a leg up since you'll be using other principles I've already described in this book that work synergistically with CBTI. For example, probiotics and omega-3 DHA will help you manufacture sleep-inducing GABA and serotonin, which insomniacs may be lacking. Eating a wide variety of vegetables and whole fruits can help regulate cortisol levels. Replacing brain-draining sugar and flour with high-fiber meals improves the quality of your sleep. Engaging in exercise helps to keep relaxing GABA levels high, and remember, this is the same neurotransmitter that benzodiazepines like Xanax and sleeping pills like Ambien boost. The difference? You'll be getting this neurotransmitter in a natural, non-addictive way while enjoying the side effect of a wide variety of health benefits. The pieces of CBTI. Some CBTI strategies are common sense. Keep your room dark and quiet. Avoid caffeine in the afternoon. Cool the room down when you sleep. But this program takes things one step further. There are 3 different levels of CBTI to treat everything from minor to major sleep problems. The simple CBTI strategies in level 1 are enough for some brain-drained individuals to make a significant difference in their sleep-stress relationship in a matter of days. Others with more significant sleeping problems will need more time. But the beauty of the personalized CBTI in this program is that it's flexible. It's more cost-effective than CBTI sessions or apps that can cost hundreds or thousands of dollars. I've included 7 days of a sleep journal as part of the program in the back of this book, which will be sufficient for people with minor sleep programs. If you have significant problems, make several copies of the sleep journal before writing in it so you can use it over the course of weeks or months. Once you learn this flexible version of CBTI, you can come back to it should you ever have problems in the future. If your goal is to reduce or eliminate your dependence on sleeping pills, consult your prescriber to help come up with a schedule to taper the medication gradually. This tapering schedule will likely depend on the severity of your insomnia, the type and dose of medication, and how long you've been using it. If you are taking sleeping pills on a regular basis, you may need to use the CBTI program for 6 to 8 weeks. Most of the patients I've treated with CBTI find the most success if they continue taking their medication with no change for the first 7 days of the program. Then they reduce the drug by 50% in week 2, reduce another 50% in week 3, and then discontinue the medication altogether in week 4. For example, someone taking 10 milligrams of Ambien on a nightly basis would keep taking 10 milligrams every night in week 1 of the CBTI program. Then the dose would be reduced to 5 milligrams in week 2, 2.5 milligrams in week 3, and then no medication in week 4. However, every person's goals and medical history are different. Some people with long-term insomnia may respond to a more gradual taper. Do you want to stop taking sleeping pills altogether? Do you want to go from using them 4 to 5 nights a week to 1 to 2 times per month? Work with your prescriber to come up with a tapering schedule that takes your goals, the type and dose of medication you take, and the severity of your insomnia into consideration. There are some people for whom CBTI will not work. For example, CBTI does not work for people who have sleeping problems resulting from sleep apnea. If you snore loudly, wake up gasping for breath, or wake up with a very dry mouth, you may benefit from an overnight sleep study to see if you have sleep apnea. Local sleep specialists can administer this test in clinics, and there are now in-home studies available, and it is usually covered by insurance. Getting diagnosed and treated for sleep apnea is important because untreated sleep apnea has health risks. For example, it can triple your risk of stroke. CBTI also does not work well if sleeping problems are the result of another untreated physical or mental illness, such as a urinary tract infection or major depression. In these cases, treat the illness first. CBTI can sometimes be beneficial as an add-on treatment after the primary problem has been diagnosed and treated. Also, CBTI does not directly treat restless leg syndrome. That being said, some of the strategies you'll learn, like progressive muscle relaxation and self-hypnosis, can be added to CBTI to help manage symptoms of this condition that makes it difficult for people to sleep. Implementing CBTI. CBTI involves a series of specific steps to help you sleep more easily, soundly, and efficiently. The strategies I'll outline here prime your brain for the low cortisol, high melatonin state that promotes restful sleep. Level 1. For minor insomnia. These simple steps in level 1 of CBTI may be enough for some people with minor problems to improve their sleep quality. If these fixes don't do enough to improve your sleep, you'll proceed to levels 2 and 3 after completing level 1. Step 1. Set a stable bedtime and wake time. Remember, your circadian rhythms of melatonin and cortisol are designed to create a daily symphony of wake and rest. The high melatonin, low cortisol evening, and low melatonin, high cortisol morning are designed to function in a 24-hour rhythm that corresponds to natural light. One of the simplest and easiest way to help your sleep-wake cycle get back on track is to set a bedtime and wake time you can adhere to on a regular basis. Yes, even on weekends. Going to bed and waking up at different times on weekends has been called social jet lag and may affect about two-thirds of the population. By doing this, you experience effects similar to taking a transatlantic flight every weekend and returning every Monday. When you're figuring out what times will work for you, consider your obligations on both weekdays and weekends. Consider the people you live with and their schedules. If you're a night shift worker or work very early or very late, consider a time that works for your job as well as allowing time to see your family and friends. If necessary, have a conversation to decide on a bedtime and wake time that you, your significant other, and or other family members can agree on. One of the most important principles of CBTI is setting a consistent wake time you can adhere to 7 days a week. The ultimate goal is 8 solid hours of restful sleep per night, but it also means getting out of bed at your target wake time even when you didn't sleep well. If you're someone who sleeps in until 10 a.m. on the weekends but then wakes up at 6 a.m. to go to the gym on weekdays before work, decide on one time or the other. In an ideal world, you would simply wake up around 6 a.m. on the weekend, since that would also allow for your circadian rhythm to align itself with natural sunlight. There are benefits to this strategy. One study proved waking up early and exposing yourself to natural light early in the morning, when blue light is at its highest, has been linked to lower body mass index. Daytime light exposure needs to be at a level that is difficult to achieve with indoor lighting. However, other factors like frequent work events and dinners may require you to work late, which can make this difficult. If you can't see yourself waking up that early on the weekends, then perhaps it would be better to change your morning workout routine into a lunchtime one. This option would allow you to sleep in later on weekdays, so your new consistent wake-up time is around 8 a.m. every day of the week. While you want to choose a time you can stick to on a regular basis, you also don't want to become extremely rigid, since this can lead to anxiety about sleep. A bit of flexibility is inevitable from time to time. Try to get up at your new wake time even when you didn't get to bed at your prescribed bedtime. Even though you may be slightly tired for one day, this will prevent your sleep-wake cycle from shifting, which can potentially zap your energy for weeks. However, try to keep these times stable through this course of CBTI, since the goal is to reset and restore your sleep-wake cycle. It's sometimes helpful to begin this process on the weekend or on a day where you don't have anything important to do, since you may experience some daytime sleepiness in the first few days when beginning this program. Avoid driving during this time if you're not sleeping well, and don't compensate by drinking too much caffeine, since this will prevent a reset of your sleep-wake rhythm that night. Stay busy with light activity or a walk outside to keep yourself awake on these days. Also, limit naps. In fact, don't take them at all if you don't need them. If you do, limit them to one short nap of 20 to 30 minutes. If you find you need naps often, try scheduling them at a set time of the day. This allows your brain to prepare for this ritual, which will help you to fall asleep quickly and reap the benefits of this short time. The best time for most people is after lunch, when your sleep-wake cycle takes a small dip. If you're exhausted, a 20-minute nap at 3 p.m. is better than an extra-large coffee. A short nap won't disrupt nighttime sleep as much as a hefty dose of caffeine in the afternoon and evening. Just make sure the naps aren't long, because they disrupt the recalibration of natural sleep-wake rhythms. Remember, the goal of CBTI is to help your body and brain rediscover what it's like to naturally become sleepy at bedtime. Long or frequent naps and afternoon caffeine can disrupt this recalibration. My bedtime is, my wake time is. Note, ideally, these times should be roughly 8.5 hours apart. This allows for 8 hours of sleep, the amount of time most brains need for optimal health, while allowing for about 30 minutes to fall asleep. If you still find yourself tossing and turning all night, we'll modify these times later in the program. Step 2. The 60-minute wind down. Now take your target bedtime and subtract 1 hour. This is when your 60-minute wind down begins. This wind down is essential because it's priming your brain and body for sleep. If you have children, you know how important a wind down is for helping them sleep. Your kids may need a bedtime story before bed, but your adult brain needs its own wind down strategies. Just because you and your conscious mind want to go to bed right now doesn't mean that all the other parts of your brain and body agree with you. This wind down time primes brain and body for rest. My target wind down time is... So what do you do during this wind down period? Cool. Since your body cools down as it enters sleep, help facilitate this process by turning the thermostat down a few degrees at wind down time. If you have a programmable thermostat, you can make this change automatic. Another way to relax your muscles and drop your body temperature is taking a warm shower or bath. When you get out, your body temperature will drop as the water evaporates from your skin. You want to be a few degrees cooler, but not cold. If your feet get cold in bed, put socks on. Another way to cool your body is to exercise in the afternoon. Research suggests that as your body temperature drops after the spike that occurs during exercise, sleep improves. Morning workouts have also been linked to better sleep, but this is likely due to light exposure and movement helping to realign your circadian rhythms as opposed to the cooling effect of afternoon workouts. If possible, move moderate to intense exercise from evening sessions to morning or afternoon ones, since they can warm the body for hours and make sleep difficult. Dim. Turn off all electronics. This includes your TV, cell phone, and computer. If you charge your cell phone in the bedroom, find a new home for it in another room. Invest in a simple $10 alarm clock for the bedroom. Electronics emit higher levels of the blue light that is particularly potent in suppressing melatonin production. Newer LED and compact fluorescent light bulbs emit more blue light than traditional incandescent bulbs. Use incandescent light bulbs on dimmers at night or look for LED lights that have been specifically manufactured to reduce the blue light for nighttime use. There are now several brands that make these, and they're significantly more affordable than they were a few years ago. GE's Align PM LED bulb is engineered to reduce blue light, and it's dimmable. It uses just 7 watts of energy and costs about $20 per bulb. While they cost more upfront, they last longer and cost less to run. Prep. Get ready for the day ahead of you. Take a moment to make an inventory of everything you need to do the following day. This preparation can help prevent the "Oh shoot, I forgot about" thoughts that cross your mind just as you're about to enter a restful sleep state. Do a brain dump. Write down the things you need to remember so your brain can let go. Get your clothes ready for the following day. Put your briefcase and the documents you need to take with you by the door. This preparation allows your unconscious mind to sleep deeply by preventing anxious dreams and waking up too early. ritual. Are there any rituals that you enjoy before bed? Enjoy a cup of chamomile tea and a good book to calm you. Say a prayer or meditate. Make yourself a delicious bedtime latte with saffron, which has been shown to improve sleep. See my recipe below. Take a natural melatonin supplement. Natrol's fast-dissolve melatonin is helpful for people who have trouble falling asleep. If you have trouble staying asleep, try their time-release version. Light a candle as you get ready for bed. Use all your senses to help different parts of your brain and body prepare for rest. Paint your bedroom a soothing color or hang pictures that fill you with a sense of calm. Lavender has been shown to help promote rest. Rub a drop of lavender essential oil in your palms and inhale. Find a lavender spritz that calms you, or put a few drops in a pre-sleep bath or shower. Your brain will begin to pair this smell with sleep. Make these rituals things you can take with you so your brain doesn't panic if they're not available. Put a spritz of lavender on your travel eye mask, or put a few bags of your favorite evening tea in your suitcase. This will help you to create a wind-down ritual you can use anywhere. If there is a pose from EBCT that resonates with you and any anxieties that prevent sleep, use it before you climb into bed. Bedtime latte. Heat one cup of your favorite type of milk, coconut, almond, or organic dairy, on the stove or in the microwave. Add 1/2 teaspoon of turmeric, 1/2 teaspoon of black pepper, 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon, and 5 threads of saffron. Head start. The true preparation for sleep actually begins hours before bedtime. Reduce or eliminate caffeine after lunch. If you're desperate for a caffeine boost in the afternoon to get through your day, switch to half-caf, decaf, or green tea. Green tea has about 1/3 of the caffeine of coffee. Eat a dinner and evening snack that contains vegetables, whole fruits, grains, and probiotics that promote restful sleep while helping your body manufacture soothing hormones like GABA and serotonin. Avoid blood sugar spiking processed carbs that have been shown to disrupt restful sleep. Limit alcohol to 1 serving per night. If you have a newer phone, open the settings and change the light preferences. iPhones have a new setting that will automatically reduce the blue light emitted each evening. Wear sunglasses in the afternoon and evening if it's sunny out to reduce your exposure to evening light. Orange-tinted ones are especially good at this since they block out blue light. When you get home in the evening, dim the lights and avoid bright, fluorescent, or LED lighting except ones that have been manufactured to reduce blue light. Exercise regularly. Quiet meditative movement like hatha yoga or tai chi can be a great pre-bedtime workout. They both increase GABA while reducing cortisol levels. A stroll in nature is great too. Step 3. Go time. Now that it's time to head to your bedroom and crawl in bed, make sure that you're ready. Pair your bed and sleep. Your brain needs to be reminded what your bed is for. Sleeping and sex. If you watch TV or work on your laptop from your bed, your brain is pairing your bed with states of activity, productivity, and wakefulness. There is one exception to this for some people. If reading a book that calms you for 15 or 30 minutes in bed under dim light makes you sleepy, then you are creating a sleep ritual that helps prime your brain for sleep. If you find yourself reading for longer periods of time and or experience difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, then don't read in bed. Find a nice chair in the living room to read in and make this part of your 60-minute wind-down routine. One common problem is many people try to compensate for a night of poor sleep by going to bed early the following night. By doing this, you're getting in bed before your 24-hour sleep-wake cycle is ready to initiate sleep. You're likely to spend more time lying awake in bed than if you wait for your set bedtime. You're draining your brain when you're trying to balance it. Again, lying awake in bed is pairing your bed and wakefulness. Lights out. Make sure your bedroom is as dark as possible. Light disturbs sleep and suppresses melatonin production. This is more important as we get older because melatonin production declines with age. Keeping our exposure to light low can maximize declining melatonin levels. Invest in blackout shades or a good eye mask. If you're not used to wearing one, it can feel strange at first. Eventually, your brain will pair the feeling of the mask and sleep. In fact, it will begin to feel strange when you're not wearing one. Quiet time. Make sure your bedroom is as quiet as possible. If there is constant or intermittent noise where you live, use earplugs or a sound machine. My favorite sound machines are the Marpac Dome ones, which cost about $50. I find the steady, rich sound of the actual fan in this device to be better than the cheaper ones that use a white noise recording. However, if you're a frequent traveler, remember that you're pairing the sound with sleep, so you may want to consider that if you choose to use it at home. Of the apps I've tried, I like Sound Machine. If you travel frequently, pairing the sound of a fan with sleep can eventually make it harder to sleep without it. Earplugs are fantastic because they're easily portable. Just like eye masks, they sometimes feel strange at first. Eventually, they'll become familiar and part of your sleep routine. Another easy strategy? Switch your central heating and cooling system so that the fan is continuous as opposed to shutting on and off throughout the night. The quiet whoosh of this sound can help block out noises that can interrupt sleep while helping to purify the air. You can recreate the sound in most hotel rooms by setting the fan mode from automatic to on. Be realistic, not perfectionistic. Perfectionistic expectations get in the way of good sleep. Expect that it will likely take you about 30 minutes to fall asleep. This is the average amount of time that insomniacs took after being successfully treated with CBTI. Falling asleep in less than 10 minutes every single night is rare. Also, remember that people struggling with sleep tend to overestimate the amount of time it takes them to fall asleep. So when it feels like you've been lying there for 30 minutes, it may have only been 15. Keep calm. The way you'd introduce yourself to a friend's dog is the way you should greet sleep. Put your hand out gently and let him come to you. Trying by not trying. One of the most helpful strategies is to avoid trying to fall asleep. In many ways, your brain is like the 10-year-old child who wants to do what you tell him or her not to do. If you let go of expectations, the onset of sleep may surprise you after just a few minutes. Adopt a mindful, curious, childlike mindset that finds pleasure in noticing the physical sensations in your body, like the air on your cheek, and how nice the pillow feels under your head. Shift from doing mind to being mind. The more actively you try to force sleep to happen, the more you are pairing the feelings of frustration and anxiety with your bed and nighttime. If you find yourself lying in bed and it feels like it's been a long time or you're getting anxious, don't panic. Without judgment or frustration, simply get out of bed and do some light activity in another room under dim lighting until you find yourself becoming sleepy. Sleepiness is like surfing. You can paddle out into the ocean ready to surf, but then you have to wait for a wave. Sometimes the wave is just a few feet away. Other times you'll have to wait a bit for the next set to come in. Just read, knit, or do some light cleaning until you can feel the wave of sleepiness approaching. This strategy keeps anxiety at bay while maintaining a strong pairing between bed and the initiation of sleep. If you have to do this 2 or 3 times, that's okay. This may result in one night of just 5 or 6 hours of sleep, but it's actually setting your brain up for 8 restful hours the next night and for the long term. One optimistic way of reframing a lack of sleep one night is to focus on how restful, easy, and deep your sleep is likely to be the next. Stop clock watching. With all of the previously mentioned focus on time, common sense may say perhaps you should keep your alarm clock handy all night to calculate minutes. But clock watching creates anxiety that interferes with sleep. It's actually better to turn your clock around or put it under your bed. If you wake up in the middle of the night, don't look at it. Looking at the clock at night creates anxiety about getting enough sleep. This makes sleep more elusive. If you're the type who panics about waking up in time and frequently checks the time in the morning, then get 2 clocks with loud alarms so you can sleep soundly without anxiously checking the time. Level 2, for moderate insomnia. For people who have a bit more significant sleep problems, you can add these steps to the ones covered already. Step 4, relax. Add a relaxing technique to your sleep routine. In later chapters, I'll teach you how to practice clinically effective relaxation techniques, including diaphragmatic breathing, progressive muscle relaxation, autogenic training, and hypnosis. Once you learn them, you can do them in bed, which will help prime your brain and body for restful sleep. Find the one that works best for you. People with knots in their stomach may find the tense and then relax format of progressive muscle relaxation more effective, since this can help dissolve tension. Others with pain or stiff muscles may find autogenic training easier, since no movement is required. Hypnosis can help you to distance yourself from your greatest sleep fears. As you learn these techniques, you can even combine them in novel ways to help you sleep. Your brain will learn to pair this activity with the onset of sleep. Step 5. Reframe. This process is similar to the work we did in the last chapter. We're going to identify your biggest sleep worry and then change it using the strategies you learned from EBCT. Identify your biggest sleep worry. Do any of these worries or a similar version of them sound familiar? They represent versions of these 7 pitfall thought patterns as they relate to sleep. Paralysis analysis. This type of thinking involves stewing and ruminating in anxious thoughts which prevent positive change, e.g. restful sleep, from occurring. For example, what did that mean when my colleague said that today? Maybe he doesn't like me. I wonder if he resents that time last year when I got assigned to that project he wanted. Or I wonder if maybe he knows something I don't. Am I getting fired? My mind is racing. How will I be able to get to sleep? Number 2, permanence. This type of thinking falsely assumes that just because something is a problem today, it will always be a problem. For example, I'm an insomniac today, which means I'll be an insomniac tomorrow, next month, and next year. These problems are here to stay. Number 3, personalization. This type of thinking places the blame on you for negative circumstances or outcomes. For example, my sleep difficulties are just another example of how undisciplined and lazy I am. What's wrong with me? Other people don't have these kinds of problems with sleep. Number 4, pervasiveness. This type of thinking allows something that is affecting one area of your life to spread to all areas of your life. For example, if I don't sleep well tonight, I'm going to skip yoga tomorrow and cancel my dinner plans. Number 5, pessimistic. This type of thinking considers the worst case scenario. It dwells in the possible, not the probable. For example, if I don't get 8 hours sleep tonight, I'm going to botch that presentation tomorrow and get fired. I won't be able to afford my mortgage if I lose my job. Where will I live? How will I eat? Number 6, polarized. This type of thinking has a binary black or white pattern. The words always or never are frequently found in this type of thought pattern. For example, if I don't always get 8 hours sleep every single night, I just can't function. Number 7, psychic. This type of thinking expects people around us to read our minds without us verbalizing what we need. For example, why is my husband still watching TV? He should be able to tell by looking at me that I'm ready for bed. Doesn't he know how important tomorrow is for me? Write your most draining sleep worry below. It may be one of the ones listed above, your own personal version of one, or an entirely different worry. First, identify which pitfall thought pattern affects you most. Then write down the way this pitfall thought pattern sounds in your head as your own personal sleep worry. Next to the worry, write how true that feels to you right now. Remember, 100% means that you know for certain that this worry is absolutely true. For example, people who believe they'll always be insomniacs with absolutely no hope of ever changing would write 100%. But if they have a tiny glimmer of hope, perhaps they'll write 97%. If you think it's probably true or true most of the time, perhaps you'll write 65% next to the worry. If it probably isn't true but can be true once in a while, perhaps you'll write a 25% next to the worry. Give it a shot here. The pitfall thought pattern that disrupts my sleep the most is, this leads to a sleep worry that sounds something like, sleep worry, how true, blank percent. Change your thoughts, see your success. Once you have identified your sleep worry, overcome and change it using the strategies you learned from EBCT. First, use a physical pose. Second, find the contrary evidence from knowledge and experience you already have in your life. Third, see your success in your mind's eye. Here's an example. Sleep worry, pessimistic. If I don't get 8 hours of sleep tonight, I'm going to botch that presentation and get fired. I won't be able to afford my mortgage. Where will I live? Contrary evidence, while using the half-smile physical antidote, throughout my life, there have been plenty of times I haven't gotten 8 perfect hours of sleep. I've managed to get through plenty of stressful days, meetings, and situations on less than ideal sleep. I may not have been at my absolute best, but I wasn't fired as a result. My relationship didn't end. I made my mortgage payment. I got through the day. Mind's eye. I can see myself getting through my presentation tomorrow with ease and grace. I feel well rested. I have a smile on my face and I feel good about myself. My colleagues are looking at me and they're impressed with the work I do. In fact, this confidence is so powerful that I see myself performing well no matter how tired or alert I may be at that moment. Review of EBCT poses. Paralysis analysis, antidote, tree pose. Permanence, antidote, eye cupping. Personalization, antidote, star pose. Pervasiveness, antidote, pigeon pose or shoulder shrugs. Pessimistic, antidote, the half smile. Polarized, antidote, spinal twist. Psychic, antidote, chest thump. Take your sleep worry and write the contrary evidence you already have in your life. After using a physical antidote, described on page X, reflecting on this contrary evidence and seeing your future in your mind's eye, how true does it feel now? Sleep worry from above, how true? Blank percent. For many people, this process significantly reduces how true this worry feels. This reframing is the cognitive part of cognitive behavioral therapy. your sleep worry becomes less powerful and it may bother you a little less. This helps to ease sleep worries, fears, and anxieties that prevent restful sleep. This next level will allow you to use the behavioral part of cognitive behavioral therapy. You will create an experiment where your new future experience will continue to counteract your sleep worry. Level 3, for acute insomnia. The following steps can be added for those people who have more significant sleep problems or have not responded to the interventions in levels 1 and 2. These steps begin to significantly alter the sleep-wake cycle for those people who may need a harder reset. This step is sometimes challenging in the beginning because it involves a period of partial sleep deprivation. However, this short-term discomfort leads to lasting gains. In addition to steps 6 to 10 below, I will sometimes prescribe cranial electrotherapy stimulation, or CES, at this point if a patient has not responded to the interventions in CBTI, levels 1 and 2. CES employs a non-invasive, FDA-approved device that can be used at home to treat both insomnia and anxiety. This device sends a tiny amount of electricity through electrodes placed on the earlobes or neck, which the patient will feel as a slight tingle. An average session increases levels of endorphins by 98%, serotonin by 50%, and melatonin by 25%. It also reduces cortisol by 18%. One recent study found significant improvements in sleep after just 5 daily treatments, and studies have found this at-home device to be quite effective for anxiety as well. Side effects are rare and tend to be very minor. The protocol involves daily use for the first month, followed by maintenance treatments a few times a week. While you can use the device while reading or watching TV, you can also combine it with other practices you'll learn, like meditation. For more information on CES and how to purchase one, see my website, drmikedow.com. Step 6. Calculate your sleep efficiency. In the final phase of CBTI, people with the worst cases of insomnia will use a strategy where they will paradoxically sleep less in order to make themselves tired enough to sleep more. This involves temporarily moving your sleep and wake times and then strategically shifting them to achieve easy, deep, and restful sleep. In order to use this strategy, you will need to determine your sleep efficiency, which is a simple calculation of how much time you spend in bed sleeping compared with how much total time you spend in your bed. Obviously, the goal is to be sleeping nearly the entire time you're in bed. The only exceptions here, which are left out of this calculation, are 1. Up to 30 minutes of reading, only if this activity helps you to sleep, and 2. Sex. The basic equation is this. Step 1, number of minutes in bed, A, minus number of minutes awake, B, equals total time asleep, C. Step 2, your total time asleep, C, divided by total number of minutes in bed, A, equals sleep efficiency expressed as a decimal. Step 3, sleep efficiency as decimal multiplied by 100 equals sleep efficiency percentage. So if your bedtime is 11 p.m. and your wake time is 7:30 a.m., this means you are in bed for a total of 8.5 hours, or 510 minutes. Remember, don't include time up to 30 minutes of reading or sex. So A equals 510. If it took you 45 minutes to fall asleep and you woke up once for about 60 minutes, then you were awake for 105 minutes. So B equals 105. Note, remember that insomniacs tend to overestimate these times, so consider this finding when making these calculations. It's best to estimate instead of calculating this number exactly, because looking at the clock all night prevents restful sleep. Now subtract B from A, and you get 405 as the total time asleep, so C equals 405. Now divide the amount of time you are actually sleeping by the time you were in bed. 405 divided by 510. This gives you 0.7941. Multiply by 100, which means move the